Luke here this day. I'm going to be sharing some things this morning about spiritual growth. And then at the end, I'm going to go into a portion of scripture that I preached many years ago. I just felt that it fit. And I said it was real heavy revelation many, many years ago. And I know it's going to be solid revelation today as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Did I miss anything that needs to be covered? Anything needs to be covered? Amen. The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 80. If you don't have your Bible here this beautiful Sunday morning, everything, every scripture I go to is going to be on the overhead projector. Amen. I'm going to open up out of two verses here this morning, speaking about spiritual growth, becoming who God wants you to be, amen, and not just being in church, but becoming who God wants you to be, who God created you to be, who God, there was a book I read along, pre-packed you to be, amen, amen. All of us have a calling within our life. All of us got gifts within our life, and it is our personal responsibility to find out what it is. Amen. Too many people stay in doubt, and what is my calling? They stay there. 5 years go by, 10, 20, and they still don't know their calling, amen, of what God has placed within their life. To know your calling into what God has placed already within your life, we're going to need to grow spiritually. Amen. We're going to need to grow spiritually, and I'm going to be speaking about that this morning. And a lot of times, in growing spiritually, we think everything's got to be perfect. We think the finances got to be in place, this got to be in place, the marriage, the children, and you know, our ministry needs to be, and everything needs to be in place. But you're going to be surprised here this Sunday morning how much you need, amen, to have everything in place to find out who you are in Christ Jesus, amen? The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 80, the Bible reads, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel." Amen. That was John. Amen. Luke 2:52. "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor for this beautiful opportunity to be able to hear your word, Lord, to be able to respond and to apply your word, Lord, to know what our calling is, Lord. I pray this morning that you open hearts, minds, that you bring forth fresh revelation to men and women and the youth that are here so that they may be able to know a little bit more about you this day, a little bit more about themselves. In your precious name we pray. And we all say in one accord, amen. Here it says that John the Baptist grew, amen. It says that Jesus grew in spirit, amen. And I open up with a point here this morning. We can't expect to become strong spiritually if we don't invest into our spiritual life. Too many people think that they can come to church and grow spiritually. That's a very small part of it, coming to church. Amen? Religion says you can go to church and everything you've done, your duty. You've done your part. But if that was the case, we would not have an inner city problem of drug addiction, gang violence, prostitution, and all the things that are taking place within the inner city. Even now, so much more in the suburb now. With those oxycontins and those pills that are just taking over the suburbs now. If all we had to do was come to church, there's 1,000 churches in the city of Milwaukee. There's one in every block, they say, along with a bar on every block. If coming to church would be all that it takes to do our part and to grow spiritually, we would not have problems in the city of Milwaukee. Can I hear an amen, somebody? We need to go way beyond coming to church. Amen. old quote says, just because you stand in a garage don't make you a car. Just because we're in church this morning don't really mean that we're a true Christian. We're going to have to invest into our spiritual lives. We're going to have to do spiritual things in order to operate in the spirit realm. The Bible says that God is spirit and so are we spirits. But through religion and tradition teaches that all you got to do is come to church and do the sign of the cross and you're good to go. That's not a truth. It's far from the truth. It's far from the truth. I believe the enemy is more happy when he's able, if he was to pick having 100 people in a street corner all hooked on drugs, or would he be happy having 100 people in a church not knowing who Jesus is? I think he would be more happy, his job would be getting done more better if he would be able to have 100 people in church going through the process of religion, not changing, not knowing Jesus, but thinking they're changing, thinking they know Jesus, and thinking they're headed towards heaven. See, because 100 people on the street corner, that represents the majority of us, there'll come a day where you say, man, I need help. I need help. I don't want to be a drug addict. I don't want to be an alcoholic no more. I need help. But there's a lot of people in a lot of churches right now not calling out for help because they think they're okay because they go to church. The enemy is very satisfied and very pleased when a man or a woman or a youth member enters a church and comes every Sunday without knowing who Jesus is, just thinking he knows or she knows who Jesus is. We need to be careful that we don't fall in that trap. We need to be careful that that's not one of us here this morning, a person that just comes to church. We wouldn't need this big old 66 books in the Bible if all we had to do was come to church. It would be a one-liner Bible. Go to church, period. But the Lord gives us an Old Testament and a New Testament. An Old Testament to learn from the mistakes of the old. A New Testament that comes with the new covenant through, shed through his precious blood on the cross. For us to have revelation. That we don't have to go through a high priest, amen, for our sins to be covered because our high priest is Jesus. And he paid the ultimate price on the cross through his life in order for each and every one of us to be able to enter the most holy place where the veil has already been torn, the Bible says, from the top to the bottom. Where each and every one of us, no matter what our condition may be, that we're able to enter a most holy place of Jesus, the very presence of the Lord, living a messed up life. See, before in the Old Testament, it was only the high priest that was able to enter. And he too himself had to be covered and be right before he entered that most holy place. But the beauty of the new covenant, the blood and the cross, allows sinners like you and I to enter into the presence of the Lord because of a price that Jesus paid on the cross in full for you and I to have the victory here this morning, for you and I to experience and encounter who Jesus really is. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. We can't expect to become strong spiritually if we don't invest into our spiritual lives. Four areas to grow spiritually. I'm not going to break them down. I'm just going to list four of them right now. And you know, I always preach on prayer. I always preach on relationship with Word. We need to know Jesus in order to be effective in what we do. Four areas. One is daily prayer. Whether you start off with 5 minutes of prayer, just thanking the Lord when you wake up. But it got to go beyond that. Another one is daily word. Getting in your Bible and just reading who Jesus is. reading the way that Jesus operates, the do's and the don'ts. Another third one is very powerful one, and I put here strong Christian relationships. Too many of us might be very faithful to the church, but outside of the church, you don't have strong Christian friends. It's real important that you have strong Christian friends. It's real important that you find a friend that is spiritually stronger than you are. I've been around long enough to see people always wanting to hang out with people that are weaker than they are. For they can call the shots and lead the way, sound more spiritual. But if you really want to grow, amen, you can only get so much preaching within the church. But if you hang out with spiritual friends that are stronger than you are, you will be able to have church every day of the week. You'll be able to see what works and don't work from someone that is stronger spiritually than you are. But too many times, too many people come to church and still hang out with the same people. Amen? That might work for a season, but everyone will have a bad day. And it's upon that bad day where those friends, those natural friends, will have a greater influence than you do upon their lives. We need to have strong Christian relationships. Yesterday was such a beautiful day. Amen. I got late with the Lord and I stayed up. But I was so blessed because we had Tammy's baby shower was taking place. And being the pastor, I just played the part, made my rounds. I wasn't there for the food, but then I ended up getting a little bit on the way out. And I was just so blessed to see all the joy, all the laughter, all the kids. But all the kids together making noise was too much for me, so my time was short, to the point. And I left. I went there to tell Tammy's mom to stay away from the bowls and the pots. Stay away from the kitchen. I don't need you any. Last time she was here, she split her head wide open. A bowl came off the shelf and hit her on the head and cut her open. And then from there, I was able to go across the lot back here, and Alberto would volunteer to do the furniture sale, amen. And I would go out there, share a little bit with Alberto and, you know, sit with him and just talk, reminisce, talk about this and that. And then at the same time, all the chairs we had out there were all occupied because Elena and David's little girl was having her birthday. And then the people were coming to buy us, everybody off the chairs, man, there. So we had a little party going out there, and all the chairs were sat on. I said, now everybody off the chairs. Jason was the last one to listen to me. He kept wanting to sit. What's wrong with you? I said, get off the chair. So I was there, able to be there, did a little drive-by of the children's birthday party going on. They were hitting a piñata, amen. And David almost got hit. The kids almost got hit. That stick was flying all over the place. And I walked away before somebody got hurt, and they couldn't pin it on me. Because it would have been my fault. And then from there, I would go with the man. I would be sharing with the man in the school. From there, we would take out more furniture as it was being sold. Then I would be with the man. I would be with George. And then I would go to the furniture sale over there where Lily and Felipe have volunteered. And I was making my rounds all over the place, fellowshipping with the sheep of the church. And I really, really enjoyed myself. And then I even went and did with Chris. I took off, and Alan as well. And Alan's on the front row. I say, "Woo, what's Alan doing on the front row?" I invited him to sit on the front row. He goes, "Me? Me? Me? Yes, get up here." So we went and we did. He went up to the front row, and man, he straightened up that suit, man, 1,000 times. And I was just peeking. I was like, acting like I was worshiping the Lord, and I had my eye on him. He was fixing the suit and doing all this stuff, and you know. We went and did a run there to the north side. Another pastor had purchased 4 or 5 chairs, and I ended up witnessing to the deacon of the church. I started blasting VO style, amen. Started telling him about relationship, about us coming out to the north side real soon. And he would say, "Well, I know the Spirit all over you." You know, I was just talking to him, and I said, "Hey, Chris, man, the churches need to know that, you know, their job. They need to know their calling." And he just listens. I bombarded on him. Finally got in the van and came back home. And I would make the same rounds all over again. And then I got to be with the Lord. It's very important that we have strong Christian friends. I'm not always going to be available. It's always good that you have strong Christian friends, even though it might take you to humble yourself to come under that person. When I'm nowhere to be found, in your time of need, it's going to be to your benefit that you've been hanging out with someone spiritually stronger than you. It pays off to hang out with people that are spiritually stronger than you. And before you know it, one day people will be hanging out with you, calling you more spiritual, stronger than they are. We need to find solid Christian friends. We need to purposely go out of our way to hook up with solid Christians in the church. We have a lot of them here within this church. Too many times we wait upon, you know, them getting to us when we too can get to them. Lower my monitors just a little bit more. There's still a ringing. So we need strong Christian relationships. Daily prayer, daily Bible reading, strong Christian relationships. And the fourth one is very important. You need a good church. Now, I may not be the most polished speaker there is in the city. Amen. But I know that God speaks to me. I know that God's working through me right now. And it's not just I think he is. I know he is. And all I know about you, you can go to the big Elm Brooks and the big churches, and they're good churches. But are they doing what we do? Some of you don't know yet, but you in weeks will know what we do and the way we operate after a Sunday morning service. The service is simply instructions to be carried out for the lost and the bound. The true church of God is one that reaches out to the lost and the bound. It's not the mayor, the alderman, the police station. It's the Christians that should be changing this city. It's the churches that should be changing this city. It's the churches that should be changing the mayor, the alderman, and the police, because there are people just like we are. It's important here this morning that you find a good church. And a good church don't represent when you feel and think everything is going right. Because if that's the way you measure a good church, you're measuring incorrectly. If you can find a church where everything is going right, that church ain't doing the will of the Lord. And too many times we look for the perfect church. It always comes up when I start speaking on this road right here. And if you do find the perfect church, when you get there, it's no longer a perfect church. Amen. We need to know that within the church, things are going to take place. It's biblical. Amen. It's biblical. They came after the early church. There was persecution to the early church, but it backfired on the enemy. It spread the gospel. There's persecution right now in the end time church. But the persecution that has come upon the people is now raising up a worldwide international ministry called Victor Outreach. Without the persecution, without the bondage, there would have never been a ministry breathed by God called Victor Outreach International. We need to know that we're going to take hits. We're a frontline ministry. That things sometimes ain't going to go the way we would want them to go. But all we need to know is that God is in control here this beautiful Sunday morning. Whether you woke up on the right side of the bed or on the wrong side of the bed, God is still in control of your life. John the Baptist and Jesus' strength was not natural, but these two scriptures in Luke 1:80 and 2:52 say that it was a spiritual strength. It was a spiritual strength. Too many Christians operating in the natural strength that can only take you so far, especially within a frontline ministry such as the one we are a part of. We need to bridge over from the natural ability that has proven over and over to our lives, whether you're educated, not educated, got great finances, no finances. We need to know that the natural ability of man, woman, and youth is not great enough to be able to fulfill the call of God upon our lives. Religion says you can just go to church. You know, I when I called my dad once or twice a week, I open up with, "How you doing, Dad?" He's 85 years old, right? He's, "Well, it could be worse. It's okay. Everything's okay," my dad says. Every time I open up with my line, then he gives me that line, then we get into our conversation. He says, "I guess it's okay. It could be worse." And I believe all of us could say that right now, amen, especially with our backgrounds. It could be worse. Spiritual strength does not come automatically. You need to do something. Spiritual strength does not come automatically because you come to church or because you've been baptized or you were raised up under the Hail Marys and you said them 100 times. Spiritual strength does not come automatically. It does not come because now you've never had a job and now you got a job. You've never had a car, now you got a car. Now you stop cussing. So we think that we're becoming spiritually strong. No, you should simply stop cussing. You've been off addiction for 5, 10, 15 years. That does not make you spiritually strong. Spiritual strength does not come automatically. But natural strength, on the other hand, natural strength does come automatically. If you want to do something in the natural, it comes automatically. There's some things you don't have to work at whatsoever. And these natural things, other people may not be able to do them, so we look at them as spiritual. Something that you're doing in the natural, the next man or woman can't do, but it's still a natural act of the human ability. Too many times we want the blessings of God, we want the power of God, but we're not doing what it takes to continue to grow spiritually, as if it's supposed to happen by itself. Too many Christians wishing for breakthrough, I put here, instead of creating breakthrough by faith. Instead of creating breakthrough, there was a time when I was lost and bound, when I had a lot of money, dealing big drugs, a lot of money was never the problem. But then the addiction grew worse, and then it became a bondage where I had no money. And even within that position of having no money, walking the streets, lost and bound, I was still able to create in the natural. I know that this Sunday morning there's men and women and youth that know how to create, that know how to make something out of nothing. But it's so much greater when we're creating in Christ, when we have the Spirit of the Lord within our lives. And on a daily basis, whether it's a good day or a bad day, that we continue to apply the Bible principles into our life to grow spiritually, to be able to walk with God. See, the natural ability of man and woman will get ahead of God. The natural ability of man and woman and youth will get behind God. But when a son and a daughter is growing in the things of the Lord, you will learn to walk with the Lord. To be able to walk with the Lord, you need to grow spiritually. It's hard to get ahead of the Lord and face a trial, or to be way behind the Lord and face a trial. But it's another thing when you're walking hand in hand with the Lord to face a trial, where you know He's right beside you. You know that spiritually, even though you're going through whatever you might be going through, that Jesus is right by your side. As we go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, some of you are going to remember, and 90% ain't going to remember. When I spoke this, or weren't even here, should I say better, betterly said. Some of you, I believe, feel that you ain't cut out to go to the rallies. You weren't brought up that way. Amen? I want to let you know that it's an experience, it's a high that you can get hooked on. To really be an instrument, not just a pew warmer, but a true instrument that God is able to work in and through. You can join us this summer in going out to the worst areas of the city. That's where people learn how to serve hot dogs, chips, sodas. I got suburb churches already calling me. Hey, are you starting your rallies yet? It's not that they want to go with us. They want to supply us with buns and hot dogs. Praise the Lord. Every time they say, are your rally starting? I say, man, they might come out with us this. Man, if Elmbrook was to come out with us, get out of here. The cops would surely come. But I already got my hot dog guy from Elmbrook, my buns from another church, calling me and everything, saying, we got a lot of them right now. Can you take them right now and freeze them? I says, no, fresh hot dog buns for the hood. Don't you try to push off no day-old bread, because they do that a lot. No. We want fresh bread. And if you can't give it, we go buy it. Are you having the rallies yet? See, the Lord is able to use anybody and everybody in such a miraculous way. But the ones that are giving us hot dogs, they're sold-out men of God. They love the Lord. They love running around with bread, going to church. They get high on that stuff. Amen? Just as much as I get high hitting the streets and going and ministering. I mean, hands-on, you know, man to man, man to a prostitute, to a gang member, and giving the word up. Everybody helps in a special way. We just happen to be the hands-on church. I challenge every one of y'all this summer to come out with us. In the real beginning, it was just the rehab that would go because they had to. But now, man, we go 50, 60 deep from the church. I've never seen that in most Victory Outreaches where that many church members go out to rallies, 3 hours long. I mean, most people can't do an hour's service, more or less. We get here at 9 for prayer. Some of us get here at 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30. 5-6 hours here in church, and then another 3, it's an 8-hour day, a full day work, when most Christians look at Sunday as a day off. Not us. Not us. We ain't got it backwards, people. We're doing the right thing, amen? In 2 Kings here, some of you might be battling some areas within your life, thinking that you're missing out on something, going without something, thinking you're always looking at what you don't have instead of what you do have. And this is just a real powerful story I'm going to go through. Let's pick it up on 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 8. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. was Elijah the prophet. Amen. Whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let us make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. One day when Elijah came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant, Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elijah said to him, tell her you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now, what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elijah asked. Gehazi said, well, she has no son and her husband is old. She has no son and her husband is old. 15, then Elijah said, call her. So he called her and she stood in the doorway. Here's a woman, a wealthy woman, a well-to-do woman, the Bible says, right? She never had a son. And she had an old husband, the Bible tells us, amen? Then Elijah said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time, next year, Elijah said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she objected. Don't mislead your servant. Oh, man of God, she had just called him a good man of God. Now she's saying, don't mislead me. Amen. Verse 17. But the woman became pregnant. And the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elijah had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. My head, he said to his father. His father told a servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants on a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Why go to him today, he asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. It's all right, she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant, Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. Did I ask you for a son, my Lord, she said. Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes. Elijah said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet them. If anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elijah and told him the boy has not awakened. When Elijah reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and laid upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, as he stretched himself out upon him. The boy's body grew warm. Elijah turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elijah summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. When she came in, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. In verse 10, as we go back in 2 Kings of chapter 4, here this well-to-do woman knew that Elijah was a man of God that would always come by, and she one day told her husband, "Let's set up a room for him. Let's set up a room for him. I know he's a man of God." And verse 10 says, even though she was wealthy, that this is all that the room contained. Verse 10 says, "Let's make a small room." It was even a small room. It was nothing fancy. It said, "Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it, number one, a bed. Number two, a table. Number three, a chair. And number four, a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." Speaking about spiritual growth here this morning, and that you don't need everything in place in order to grow spiritually. Too many times we think we need this great job, a great car, a great marriage, great children, and all these things in place, a title in the church, in order to have victory. Here after the preaching this morning, each and every one of us are going to come to the realization that we have more than enough to respond to the calling of God, more than enough to respond to the cry of the lost and the bound beyond these four walls, more than enough. Even if you're from the inner city, that you have more than enough here this day. Verse 10 says that within this little room that they built on the roof, they put a bed. Amen? First, before the bed, she built the room, the Bible says. Here this morning, my success and my victories come from a very small room. It don't come from money, because if it did, I wouldn't be successful in the things of the Lord. It comes from a room that I spend time with the Lord, many hours with the Lord. My spiritual success that allows me to have favor not only with God, but with man, woman, and youth comes from a small room. A place you can meet with God. Matthew 6:6. "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." How many have a room within your house? I don't care if you have a one bedroom, you got a room. The Bible goes on to say within this room was a bed. A place I put here you can hear from God and talk to God. Has any of you all ever been in bed and God just starts giving you thoughts? I get up to pray and I go to my office to pray. Amen. Got my pet bull right next to me. Amen. And he knows what I do. My little boy Elias knows. Daddy's in the office. He's praying. And sometimes Orbiango say, "Dad, he's praying in the office. He's praying." And they almost make it sound like it's something negative, but as they grow up, they're not going to forget why Daddy spent time, many hours in that office, talking to himself. It's what it looks like. My wife will walk in, I says, "I'm in prayer." I give her that look, like, "Get out. I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And then sometimes she'll still say what she has to say to me. And I got to get back into prayer. Here, within this room, there was a bed. There's times that the Lord ministers where I pray in bed. He's ministering to me so strong in bed where I don't want to kill it. And sometimes it's hard to think that you can get a hold of God or God can get a hold of you in your pajamas or whatever you go to sleep in, amen? That God can't hear you if you haven't brushed your teeth yet, amen? God, right? And we think we got to have our face washed and our hair combed and our hair brushed and makeup done and all that stuff women do. We think we need to be in position. Just 2 days ago, the Lord was ministering to me and my wife would walk in. "You're going to go pray?" And I says, "I'm praying right now." I was still in bed. I was still in the bed. But the Lord was ministering to me. A place you can hear from God and talk to God. As you grow spiritually in the things of the Lord, you'll be woken up at 3, 4 in the morning with a heavy, heavy burden on your heart just to pray. And to start praying, you know it's God. You're wide awake. You ain't in that drowsy state. You're wide awake and you know it's God speaking to you while you're still in bed. In Psalm 63, in Psalms chapter 6, verse 6. Oh, 63, 6. You're right. "Oh, my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night on my bed." Oh, my bed. Some of you said, "Oh, my bed," when that alarm went off this morning. That's the pastor cleanup right there. So here within this room, there was a bed and there was, who's got a bed in their house? And if you don't have a bed, I don't care if the mattress is on the floor, I'll go help you. But if you got a flotation one, good enough, that's a bed. Some of you might have a blanket on the floor, that's a bed. I'm going to have 20 people coming up to me, "Pastor, I ain't got a bed." Here within this room also was a table. A place where you can study God's word. Where you can read. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, I have 2:15 on mine. Go to chapter 2. I'm going to keep reading off mine. That was the wrong one. Second Timothy 2:15. The Bible reads, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Amen. How many here this morning have a table in your house? Amen. The next thing that this woman, well-to-do woman, would place in that small room for Elijah was a chair. Amen. Was a chair, the Bible records there. In 2 Kings, amen, there was a chair. Ephesians 2:6. "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. The chair here is a place of authority. You're able to study God's word. I spend a lot of time on a chair. I have a very comfortable one. It rocks. It goes every which way. It squeaks. And every so often, I got to oil it. Amen. It's a chair represents a seated in Christ, a place of authority. If you want to grow spiritually, you want spiritual success within your marriage, within your children, within your ministry, amen, you're going to have to acquire authority within your life. How many have a chair in your house? And also within this room of Elijah, there was a lamp used to see or to get revelation. There was a lamp in this room. In Psalms 119, 105, the Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. How many have a lamp or a light in your room here this Sunday morning? Here, these basic resources I put here, these natural basic resources within the room of Elijah would provide two major breakthroughs for this well-to-do woman. See, even the well-to-do, even the suburb needs help. And it would come through Elijah. The five things within this room will provide two major breakthroughs for this woman. And as we read in chapter 4, verse 14 through 17, at the end of verse 4, well, she has no son. 15 says, Elijah said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. Come on, bring it up. 16. About this time next year, Elijah said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she objected. Don't mislead your servant, O man of God. So here within this room that contained a bed, table, chair, and a lamp, amen, would provide this well-to-do woman that was up in age along with her husband a son that she never had. It would give her a breakthrough that I believe at her age and her husband's age was something that was not even prayed for. Something not even prayed for. But yet, because Elijah would utilize the room, the bed, the table, the chair, and the lamp to get with God, he would be able to speak forth a breakthrough in this well-to-do woman's life of bearing a son. The next breakthrough that this woman would come, it would still come through the son upon his death. Chapter 4, 18 to 20. The Bible says that the child grew, and one day he went out to his father who was with the reapers. My head, he said to his father. His father told a servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. But verse 34 says, then he got on the bed and laid upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hand to hands, and he stretched himself out upon him. The boy's body grew warm. And I read the story. He was able to bring upon that bed within his room, amen, the Shunammite woman's son back to life. Here she would become pregnant. And I put a side note here, says that your room can give birth to the supernatural things of God. Your room, Not money, your room. That room, that bed, that table, that chair, that lamp is all you need to get with God. Too many times we're looking beyond the room, beyond what we have, for the miracle. I want to let you know this is good news for the inner city that might just have one bed in the house, one room in the house, one table, one chair, and one lamp. You can get with God. Your life can be transformed. It's within that room, no matter where you live, where the calling of God can be birthed within your life. You don't need all the fancy gadgets that life has to offer, that the enemy has to offer. You just need a room, a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. And we have about all those things in the furniture sales. I'm doing a quick commercial right now. It's not just any chair. This chair floats. We got chairs for sale. Chairs that you can get with God. We got lamps. We got little ones. We got baby ones. We got mama bear lamps. We got papa bear lamps. We got every lamp to put in your room so you can see God. The beds are all gone. I ask a question here this night. If you're not growing spiritually, it could probably be that you're using your room incorrectly. It could maybe be that you're using your cama, the bed, incorrectly. Some hanky-panky might be taking place in that bed that shouldn't be taking place, and some people are doing this in the seat right now. That's a place for God to speak to you, to give you dreams, to wake you up in the 3 a.m, to intercede. But some of you are using the bed improperly. Some of you are using the table. What are you using that table in your house for? Is it got a 40 on it, a pack of smokes, an ashtray, a Playboy on it? When it's a place that should hold the Word of God. What are some of you using the light for in your house? The lamps within your house, are they giving you light to receive the revelation of God or revelation of darkness? Man, Pastor, you were preaching so good. It was so clear. Why did you have to give the flip side of the room? Because many people misuse what God has given them to prosper them spiritually. And you blame it on the pastor. As kids, we grew up poor, man. There was 7 of us on one bed, and all we used to do was just bounce on the bed. It was an old bed. It went like this, and that thing was our trampoline. It was our toy, and all we would do was bounce in bed. Some of you as adults are still bouncing in bed. Well, and you're wondering why you ain't growing in the things of the Lord. You're wondering why the calling of God is still blurry. You're still doing things in that bed that shouldn't be taking place. The light of the Lord is to give us revelation to what He has for our lives and for the lost and the bound. She became pregnant. The spoken word from the man of God. In verse 34, the little boy was brought back to life. I put also here that your room, I just wrote this one in before coming out here. Your room can bring life to your family, the lost and the bound, and your calling. Your simple room has a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp can bring life or death. So don't tell me you ain't got what it takes to become that great man of God, because you do. Don't tell me you ain't got what it takes to grow because you had a bad upbringing. Even people that grew raised up in the hood got a bed and a lamp and a table in their house. This room would bring life to this young boy. It would impregnate this woman. It would allow her to give birth. It would allow her to do what her money couldn't do. See, sometimes we're after money and to do what money can do, when sometimes it's not money that's going to do what God wants you to do. But it's a simple, basic room where we can learn how to get a hold of the Lord. A little office has a lamp. It has a couple lamps in there. It's got a table and it's got a chair. And sometimes my chair becomes also a bed. I go to sleep in prayer. Pastor, you fall asleep in prayer? I sure do. See, that's a good time for the church to say, amen. I'm not the only one that sleeps during the time of prayer. But there's sometimes I'm in there so long I'm not out, and then I just come back and start praying again. How did this woman create her breakthrough? By sowing a seed of hospitality. Too many times when we sow, we can't really see how he's going to use what we sow. How did these miracles take place? Is by her creating a place for the man of God. By sowing a seed of hospitality. I put here, when you sow seed in this ministry, it does not only provide for your breakthrough, but allows an open door of hospitality for others. Word of God, I got a 5x8 right there. I said, Word of God reached me. It was in a 5x8 cell in prison. It was in a place where I had a bed, I had a table, I had light, and I had his word. In a prison cell, a 5x8 contained what was needed for me to become a man of God in a prison cell. Too many people looking for that big old house, that big old car, that big old this, big everything. God came to me in a prison cell. So I asked the congregation here this beautiful Sunday morning, what is it you lack? And your answer should be using the room, the table, the bed, and the lamp as God has intended for it to be used. You don't need much to get a hold of God. The very minimum basic things of life can allow you to get a hold of God. And that's why in our ministry right now in Mexico, there's a fire, there's a revival taking place in Mexico in a place of poverty. Why? I believe they have a bed, a light, a table, and a chair to work off of. There's a revival taking place right now in Africa, South Africa. Why? I believe the ministers out there are working with the very basics. Something like a room, which is a little one, a bed, a table, and a lamp, to reach a whole continent out there. God don't need much to work with. You don't need much to work with to get a hold of the Lord. That's why in the rehab, you can be totally transformed. Because it's not a big car or big money that changes the man of God or the woman of God. It's a relationship with the Lord. As the worship team kindly please makes their way.